Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking in flight. Now we have to fail. If it's worth the fight, you said it would.
Hello and welcome to the weekly conversation, and the top of the evening to y'all, and the rest of the night to you. If you didn't know, if you ever find someone from down under and they say, top of the morning to you, lad, you say, and the rest of the day to you. What a wonderful conversation we have. This week on the conversation, what I've been talking about, top down, bottom up, inside out. It's happening at Trump rallies, and it's just the beginning. Also, Carson, has he been offered a place on Trump's cabinet? I hope so, but then again, I thought Trump was looking at an IKEA catalog for his cabinet, but we'll find out. Kasich stumps everyone and beats Trump in Ohio, his home state, which, how can you not win your home state, Marco Rubio, the guy who I wanted to be president? Well, we're screwed now, but anywho. Also, the D.C. Metro was closed for 29 hours, what they're not telling you, and what I believe is really going on. Dozens of airport employees at three airports, you know, that Toilet Safety Administration, you know, that has harassed how many millions of U.S. citizens but gotten not one terrorist, they actually have potential ties to terrorism. I'll get into that. That's from a Fox 25 Freedom of Information Act. My man, I just found out, as I move, jump ahead real quick, Alex Tagliani will be in the 100th running of the Indy 500. Oh, my boy, my boy, my boy. And also, Manchester United's season is going up in smoke. I'll get into that. And much, much, much more. So welcome to the conversation, folks. John 14:6. Jesus told him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can get through the Father except through me. Think about that as you're going through your day to day, and what a wonderful program we got for you, folks. It's St. Paddy's Day. It's a St. Paddy's Day edition. I don't really have a Irish accent. I know a lot of British terminology and stuff, so I got a good British accent. But it's actually not that big of a deal in Ireland. You know, here it's like, okay, we're gonna go get effed up everywhere. Okay, let's give me a bottle of Jameson. I never drink it, but on St. Paddy's Day, give me 70 pints of Guinness. You know, but who knows. I want to get into some encouragement. This is an encouraging story. I love this because I'm a baseball fan. Go Tigers. Gotta love them because they, no matter what they do all season long, they end up losing in the end. But what do you expect? I mean, but anywho, Adam LaRoche, he is a designated hitter for the Chicago White Sox, is getting ready to put in his resignation and resign and give up the rest of his $13 million contract for this season because the White Sox organization says that he has his son there too much. And, you know, his son is important to him. And, you know, and I see both sides of it. Okay, you're a baseball player. We're playing you to play. Paying you to play. You need to be there. You need to give 100%. And he had his own locker in the locker room and stuff. And I could see him being like a bat boy or something. As long as it's not like, okay, he's spending all his time with his dad. If he's a bat boy or something and that's what his job is and he's doing this and he's there with his dad but not 100% interacting all the time, then what have you. But, you know, it's just the fact that Adam LaRoche, my friend, thank you for doing the right thing, being there for your son. I commend you. Not many people would do that. I wonder how many of my listeners, would you give up $13 million? I would. If I had to stand in line at a soup kitchen to be there for my son, that's what I would do. I hope I wouldn't have to stand in line in a soup kitchen. I hope I would, son, we're going to help cook at a soup kitchen. What we're going to do is, yeah, we can't afford, son, so we're going to go work in the soup kitchen, and at the end of it, we'll get a meal. And I'm going to show you how to give back. We're going to give back to the community by helping in the soup kitchen, but we're going to be given back by getting a meal out of it. Learn, you know. And it's just, I just think it's commendable that, you know, finally we get some news out of the sports, whether it's the MLB or the NHL or the NBA, where it's actually a good story. It's not like someone going to jail again or shooting someone. You know, there is some encouraging stories out there, some things to be blessed about. Moving on. What have I told you for a long time? What have I been telling you? The establishment. Top down, bottom up, inside out. Destroying America from the inside out. That's what's going on. It's not acceptable from the right or the left. Granted, it's a lot of Democratic hecklers, and they're probably being paid to do it. You got to stand up and say, hey, we're not going to be a part of it. Because what I ultimately think they're trying to do is they want to try to get it to where, guess what we're going to have, folks? Martial law. And what have I said, if you listen to my program, a long-time listener, martial law, Obama can say, okay, we need to halt the election process till this martial law comes to an end. You know, we got to resolve this Black Lives Matter issue. We got to resolve all these things, all these fightings, and you know, between the left and the right. And until all this stuff's fixed, we're halting the elections, and I'm staying president. And he's in there for as long as he wants until he says martial law is over. I'm not going to say that it is going to happen, but I'm not going to tell you that it can't. It can happen. And it might. I could see it happening. I guess, like I was telling my mom, I said I was one of the few people, because they had all these people that were in tears. I never thought we'd have an attack on this country. My cousin was up in the towers. I was sad on 9/11, don't get me wrong. But I never had that thought in my head that could never happen to us. When I watched CNN or ABC or MSNBC or Fox, and you would see videos where they would fill a van full of explosives and they would run it into a building in Iraq or Iran or Turkey or Sudan, and boom, and blow up a hotel and kill 300 people as they were shopping at a local farmer's market. I'm like, wow, I'm glad that hasn't happened here yet, but I mean, it's only a matter of time. Yeah. The Toilet Safety Administration wasn't around back then, but they haven't done anything anyway, so. I'm not saying that, yay, it happened. I'm just saying that I'm surprised it hadn't happened sooner. I never thought that it couldn't happen. You know, but it's this top-down, bottom-up, inside-out, where they're trying to disrupt the fabric of this country. They're trying to get people backfighting. Obama's not doing anything to try to correct the situation. He's trying to divide this country. Because if he wasn't trying to divide this country, he'd say, hey, you know what? This guy doesn't like me. And he's white, but he's not racist. Because if you call him racist, this guy doesn't care for me, and he's black. You know, he'd be coming out, being who he is, saying, hey, but that's not the case, folks. That's what we have this issue. It's not, we're not, you know, there's, just icks me that they're, and we can't let them get the best of it. So what? If you're gonna be like that, just stand there and say, go ahead. I'm not doing anything. And we're going to make you look like the donkey, the idiot. I'm not going to do anything. I don't agree with Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, but you know what? I don't care, because I'm not going to do anything because, you know, if you want to attack me, go ahead. And you're going to look like that. But then the liberal media would spin it somehow to make me out to be the bad guy. They always do, you know. They always do. The double standard always has a way of rearing its eerie head. You know, but I always wondered, though, because there's evidence that the GOP is trying to come together to try to dismantle Trump. But, okay, let's say that none of them get enough delegates and they have to settle it during the Ohio GOP convention. Would you sit there and would Cruz be considered an establishment person to where it's going to be politics as usual? Or do you think he's going to be establishment enough to where they would try to get him in there, but then he's going to do the right thing? I believe Cruz would do some. I'm not going to kiss his butt every time if he gets elected. I wouldn't. Going to be stuff he's going to do, I know, under the table. He's not going to be perfect, but he's going to be 100 times better than anyone else. I mean, that's the bottom line, you know. I mean, no one's going to be perfect. If Mitt Romney got the election, I'd still be complaining about things he's doing. He'd have been better than Barack Obama, but still not be perfect. And, you know. But then Kasich kind of thinks, well, I'm going to stand because hopefully if this thing makes it all the way to Ohio, it's my home state. I'm going to be, you know, I'll be home free. You know, I'll be able to cinch or have a better shot at it. You know, I think Kasich could win in his home or go really far in his home state if it goes to the, you know, the GOP convention in Ohio. I think he could go really far, but he would not beat Hillary. Because I'm 99.999% sure it's Hillary and whoever, it's either Cruz or Trump. I think it was in Missouri or one of the states that they were having Bernie Sanders conceded. I can't remember which state. I got a message today that he conceded in one of the states to Hillary. But, you know, it's...
The first one was decided by a coin flip.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The coin flip. But here's what's teeing me off. I think, honestly, Bernie Sanders is just staying in long enough, you know, just so that Hillary can claim she has someone to run against. Because, you know, having no... I mean, if they were smart, if they were really smart, which I don't want to give any advice, is that, okay, you know what, Bernie Sanders, you bow out, be my vice president, and let's just start running for president now. Let's not wait. While the GOP is infighting over who's going to be the candidate, we'll just give the candidacy to me. You'll be my vice president, and then we'll have a double whammy because all these people that don't want Hillary Clinton in the White House, well, hey, at least we're going to get Bernie Sanders as a VP. And that's what scares me, because I really think he will be the VP if Hillary Clinton gets it. And that's scary, because you have these... Because you have all these kids that are like, oh, it's going to be free education. I'm not going to have to get a job. It's going to be free. I just want to go to Bernie Sanders. Well, if you become president, Bernie Sanders, why would we need $15 an hour minimum wage when... college is going to be free, healthcare is going to be free, everything is going to be free, except for your freedom. I mean, seriously, I mean, I don't know. I just see them trying to dismantle the fabric of this nation. You know, I want to get into this really quick because I've been a long time Beck fan. I remember going back to the days when, why is he on CNN? Why is this dude on? He's not CNN at all. He's totally, like, how are they keeping him? He is, like, exact opposite of, probably because of the ratings he was bringing in. Because he was, like, totally opposite of everything they stand for. And he's had 8 predictions since 1998 that he believes, and I believe, have come true. Like, when he talked about, in 99, about how, 1999, talked about how Bin Laden, that's now deceased, was going to attack the U.S. He's talked about the housing crisis and the housing bubble, and about how, like, the, You know, he talked about the downfall of the GOP and stuff like that, and all these, you know, all these things that have happened that have come over and over again, you know, like the housing crisis and the banking crisis and all this stuff that has happened. You know, there's lots of things that he has talked about, you know, about this country going to this socialism where people want this, like, Marxist socialism type thing in this country where people want all this stuff. But, you know, I mean, here's, you know, who really, you know, does it really matter, you know, if we have Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders in the White House? What difference does it make? Because they're both socialist. Just one admits it. You know, people don't see what's going on in Europe. Where they're needing, what they really need to do in Europe and what they're starting to do is, okay, hey, we may have these benefits, but at some point you have to say, okay, we're going to make the age you get those benefits, we're going to increase the age before you get those benefits so that you have, because you have all these people that, like, well, they have all these benefits, and, oh, you're going to get this and this and this and this, and then they can't afford to pay all these benefits for all these people, and then you're kind of screwed. Wait a minute, I was guaranteed all these benefits. Well, man, we can't afford to do it. I mean, look at Detroit. Look at how some of those union bosses live, and look at where Detroit is. It was all union run. You know, when Chrysler went down, when Daimler Chrysler went under and stuff, did the unions suffer? No. But the employees did. Show me one instance, excuse me, where a company that's union run, where the employees are union run, where the company goes under and the union suffers. You won't. I would love to see a thing where, okay, yeah, this union, we're going to give $100,000 to every employee to help them until they find another job. You won't. You know, unions never suffer, but employees do. The magic of this democracy, you know, you have all these people, you know, when Beck talked about the Islamic Caliphate happening, oh, he's Looney Tunes. Well, who's laughing now? No one, because it's happening. It's there. It's in black and white. But people don't care. People, you know, in a way, it's great that some of these people, that there's no one watching these elections, you know, in terms of, like, the news and stuff and what's going on, because then they may get on this Black Lives Matter movement even more and take the liberal media for what it's worth and run with it, and then we're even more screwed. But then at the same time, well, I think it's great that North Korea built a hydrogen bomb, you know. Congratulations. I guess if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. You know, in one way, it's a double standard, but in one way, it's great that some of these things that I think the liberal media is trying to push, no one's seeing or hearing, but at the same time, you have idiots that don't know that North Korea or Iran wants to kill us. And they'll praise those countries. But, hey, you know, like the South Park episode says, you know, I guess I'm going to have to get used to realizing that I only have the choice in voting between a douche and a turd sandwich. Hillary's the douche and, you know, Trump would be the turd sandwich. You know, I mean, because I'm the political nerd I am, you know, I always wondered, like, what would happen if, because I voted for Ross Perot, what would happen if he had a legitimate vice president instead of that General Agnon that didn't speak and muttered? And my favorite thing of all time was when Saturday Night Live, they did a skit with Phil Hartman as General Agnon, and it had Dana Carvey as Ross Perot, and they're sitting there like, isn't it just sad that they can't put transmitters out here so good, decent, honest, hardworking Americans can listen to country music? I think it's just sad. And it was just hilarious. Because Phil Hartman was one of my all-time favorite actors, and if you ever watch News Radio, that I had to turn it off because I was in tears when they did the episode after he had passed, and they tried to keep the show going, and without him, it was never the same, and it was just, he was just, that, when he did General Agnon, remember when you were going to the podium, Al Gore's podium, like, you know, like you were going to attack him, and when you were stopping and stuttering, you know, that's what the American people need, a president that's spontaneous. It's not rehearsed like these other guys. And the American people know it. They're trying to ditch him. Tell Larry King that we got, tell Zongas that he needs to get ready for Larry King Live. You know, and there's a whole spoof on trying to get rid of him because he's so bad. But you wonder if Ross Perot would have had like a Newt Gingrich or a Bob Dole or even a George Bush, you know, like, or someone like that, or John McCain to be a VP that could have legitimized him. Would he have done better? I honestly think what happened is he took all the votes away that would have went to George Bush, and that's what gave the election to Bill Clinton, because he has, Ross Perot is the most successful independent in history. That's why Donald Trump would never run as an independent, because he would just take all the votes away from what would be the GOP. And unless he would 100% guaranteed win, it would be assured Hillary Clinton would be getting in the White House, and we don't want that. And he's smart enough to know that. But, you know, I always wonder what would have happened if Ross Perot had a legitimate VP and not General Agnon. That, he's like Bernie Sanders. The only difference is he's being made fun of because he was on the, because he was like almost like an independent conservative type person, not if he was you wonder what he would have done if he would have been like a liberal. Would they have still made fun of him? Nope, they would have been like praising him. Wow. That'd have been funny to see like Chris Matthews talking up, you know, General Agnon. You know, I think it's just great because, you know, welcome, you know, not that I hate Chris Matthews, but you know, just, you know, oh, man, but just have him, like, talking up. You know, it's great because, you know, how all these other candidates have scripts? General Agnon doesn't, you know, and that's what this country needs. Someone that doesn't understand anything, mumbles and stutters and walks around aimlessly. World class. You know, that's just a joke because, you know, that never happened, but hey. I'm Chris Matthews, and this is Hardball. Oh, but anywho, I have friends that still think Obama's like the greatest president in the world. They don't realize that OPEC controls the barrel of oil price, which controls the price of gallon of gas. Oh, but Obama's lowered the gas price. Obama's lowered the unemployment rate. Obama's done this. Obama's done that. Nah. Well, Fox News doesn't say that. Well, you can work 10 hours a week, make $100 a month, you know, hey, you're not unemployed anymore, you can't afford to be on your own, but hey, you're not considered unemployed. If you stop looking for work, you're not considered unemployed. But, you know, just look at the food stamps. The usage of food stamps is through the roof. But who cares? You know, I mean, they won't talk about that because that doesn't paint Obama in a great light. But it's just, you know, I mean, the healthcare's a mess. National debt's gone up. But, you know, if Obama really controlled the gas price, it would have never have left $1.80 something when he took office. It wouldn't have gone up to nearly $4 a gallon in places if he had control of the gas price. But no one, but I have friends that, whatever. I'm like, just look at the, see, they have price charts so you can look, and you can go back to like 1980 and look up, okay, this is the price of silver in 1980. This is the price of silver in 92. And so on. And it has every month, and you can track it to, okay, do you think silver is going to go up or down, or gold or whatever, you know, platinum or palladium? You can do the same thing and look at oil. And you can look and see, okay, well, between these two presidents, it went from, like, $3 all the way down to, like, $1. then it went right back up. So if he was truly controlling the gas price, it would have never gone back up from the $1.80 it was, $1.87, I think, a gallon average nationwide when Obama took office. Why would it go back up if he had control over the gas price? But, you know, the dear leader, he's just the greatest person. You know, the unemployment rate's down. Of course it is, because they take the unemployment rate and they calculate it in a way that makes him look good, not in the way that, like, they calculated it for Ronald Reagan or anyone else. I swear, it's just, you know. You can stick to your support of your government. I will stick to my God, my guns, and my Bible. You know. Someone's breaking into my house. Quick, call the government. They'll fix it. They fixed everything. Let's see how long you last. That guy will. But, like, where I live, heck, if you want to rob me, just let me know and I'll help you look for the money. Because I need it, too. I'll be on the floor. What are you doing? I'm looking for the money. Isn't that what you're doing? I live here. I don't think the criminal will know what to do. If he saw me on the ground, if I came into the house and someone was breaking into the house and he saw me on the ground looking for money too. Haha, I found a penny. Now you can have it here. I don't need it. Yeah, the penny table. I swear, you know, I don't know how people, you know, the government really had, no government solved anything. You know, like I've said before, you know, that wonderful war on poverty really didn't do anything. It's actually made it worse, not better. I want to move on to a interesting topic. Okay. In D.C., for 29 hours minimum, they have closed the metro, the train system. Why, you might add? Well, what they tell you is a year ago, there was some smoke that was produced. They don't know. They really didn't get into what it caused it. But there was one of the tunnels that had smoke in it, and a lady died a year ago because of the smoke. And, like, Monday or Tuesday, they had fire on one of the tracks that caused massive delays because they haul 700,000 people in the greater D.C. metro area. Well, the point of the story is they wanted to find out what was causing the smoke on the track and all this stuff and these major, you know, they wanted to do a major check of this whole thing and an emergency check of all these systems and stuff to make sure what's going on. This is from Fox 25 Freedom of Information Act. You know, that's something else. Pardon me, that's about the TSA incident. But when they've investigated this subway shutdown, I just look at it like this. Okay, a lady died because of smoke being produced in one of the tunnels from the subway trains, and nothing was done. But now they find fire on a track, and now we gotta shut everything down for 29 hours and do a super massive emergency inspection of everything. Why didn't they do a massive emergency inspection of the train last year when someone died? No one injured because of this. I'm glad they're doing it. Don't get me wrong. If that is the true reason why they're shutting down the metro. But if they were doing that because fire on the track now, why didn't they inspect it, close down, and make sure that whatever caused the smoke that killed somebody, why didn't they make sure that didn't happen? Because that was unprecedented. Just makes you wonder why they close it down for flame on a track, but when someone died, they didn't close it down. Just makes you wonder if there's, because there has been recent beliefs that there are credible sources saying that they're trying to attack D.C. And when we mean D.C., we mean the metro area, not just the White House. And maybe that's the case, that they don't want to alarm people and they say, hey, we want to make sure that this smoke on the track, this flame is not to do with terrorism, but they're just going to not say that. I mean, as I kind of, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit and then go back into it, but it's like NASA. Why do you think a lot of, well, I believe a lot of this space stuff is now being shuffled to independent, you know, companies to do space exploration. Why do you think they shut down NASA? Well, okay, if we have something that's unexplained on a video, we don't have to explain it. We don't have to do a Freedom of Information Act request. We can say, I'm sorry, I could have Kyle K-Space. I'm going to start K-Space. It's a space exploration company. We're going to explore space through our own shuttles. Yeah, it's called K-Space, but technically it's funded by the government and this and that. But since it's a technically a private company, I'm free from the Freedom of Information Act. I don't have to explain what I'm seeing or what I have. I don't have to show you video. I don't have to show you anything. You know, if I want to show you videos, you know, I don't have to sit there through the Freedom of Information Act. And if you try to, because those are only valid through the government. So, like, if you don't have to try to explain away videos. I don't have to show them to you. You know, we want to have this information. Well, I'm a private company. I don't have to provide that to you. And I think that's, you know, and that because there's a lot of people, because they've had several astronauts where I've listened to recordings where listen how he's talking about an object for like 3 seconds. And they're talking about this object following the spacecraft. And almost instantly you stop hearing the conversation, and what this guy believes is they realized they were the channel was not secure, and they instantly switched to a secure line to where no one could hear them, because there's several times where you hear and they get the audio via the Freedom of Information Act, and this object's been, and then you hear nothing. Or you hear bits where they talk about something following the space shuttle or something staring, like this object in the space was following us the whole time I was doing my spacewalk. And you just hear just enough to know that they're talking about something following the ship before you don't hear it, and they believe that's when they went to a secure channel. And basically, all that information, all those photos, anything that they would find, it's a private company. They don't have the Freedom of Information Act. And I think it's because, I think the subway might have been shut down to because of the flame, yeah, but also just because of all these recent terror threats on D.C., just to make sure that that was not a part of a terrorism plot. Maybe there's stuff that they've done or sabotage the lines or whatever, and they're making sure that that's not the case. But they're not going to come out and say, yeah, we believe that these lines were sabotaged or whatever, or this happened, you know. Even if that's what we believe is going on, they're not going to say that because they don't want to panic people. It's like when they did the War of the Worlds on the radio, and they had to stop and let people know this is not real. This is not really going on. This was just a radio broadcast. You know, because of that, because there's evidence that when Roswell happened, people were freaking out and panicking because they came out with it as a UFO. And then they instantly, okay, yep, folks, huh, there's a weather balloon. Jesse Marcel is one of the brightest minds the Air Force ever had, you know, where he was. He had to have very high security clearance. And for someone of that knowledge not to misidentify a weather balloon, you know, but it was instantly, they're instantly able to get the mass panic stopped. And I think that's, you know, I think honestly what they're doing is they're looking for, okay, because this happened, is there potential terrorism linked to this? Is this something, if it's a natural cause, great, no big deal. You know, it's this wire was, you know, the coating on it was coming off, and it, you know, just hit another wire and arced, and bang, we got flames, you know, whatever. You know, I'm not saying it's terrorism related, but, you know, I think they're also using this as a chance to check to make sure that it's not something that was done deliberately. But they're not going to tell you that. I mean, I would rather have a government say, yeah, we believe this could be possible terrorism. We're not saying it is, but just so that you know, we want to be honest. I mean, just like those dozens of employees at three U.S. airports that were identified as potentially having ties to terrorism. That the very people that supposedly screen you, what, they've harassed tons and tons and tons of Americans, but they haven't caught one person. I mean, but that's your tax dollars. I mean, it's seriously, it's just ridiculous. You know, like I say, the government hasn't done anything. I mean, like, since, go back to 1900 even, till 2016, there's probably not been a day on this U.S. soil where there has not been marijuana, a.k.a. cannabis, or cocaine, or heroin, or some sort of illegal drug. Because some of that was legal back then and used in pharmaceuticals and stuff. But when it's been illegal, you could get alcohol all you wanted when it was illegal during Prohibition. The government didn't stop it. Why spend money fighting a war you're never going to stop? You know, you're paying all these TSA agents, Toilet Safety Administration agent people at the airports, and they haven't stopped anybody. All I've ever seen is them harass people. Now, maybe under the table, they've gotten some people that had warrants, some petty criminals, but that's, you know, they really haven't gotten anybody that they're targeted for, you know, they're there to protect this nation from, like, people that want to do major harm. You know, that's your wonderful government at work, you know. And that was the Fox 25 where they did a Freedom of Information Act. They filed that and they were able to get this information. Because I don't think they wanted to really have that information come out, you know. That's our wonderful government for you. That's our wonderful government, you know, trying to... Everything, that's just... Because the government solves everything. I mean, that's what these retard liberals think, that they actually think that education will be free. Someone's got to pay for it. You got to earn it somehow. But... You know, it's just, you know, like I went to last week, you know, God's the only thing that's going to save this country. But the problem is you have all these people that get a hair up their butt. You know, there's actually, they're coming out with a God's not dead. And they're saying that it's misleading and there's fake, it's all fake and all this stuff. And, you know, and why would an atheist be offended by something that's not true or fake, you know, if it wasn't true? You know, it's like they try to, push their, I'm Christian. You want to be a Christian? That's great. If you don't, that's fine too. I don't try to push an atheist to become a Christian, but they try to push their atheist. Well, how dare they have a movie? This isn't real. Well, then what are you complaining? You know, it's not like I'm pushing people to Christianity. You know, it has a view because they have actual court cases that are either happened or are happening where, you know, like where people, hey, what? I'm not pushing the Bible on you, but you're telling me I can't bring my Bible to school. We have freedom in this country, and you should stand up. That's why I do this radio program, because I stand up for what I believe. I don't back down. If you want to be a Christian, my wife or I or anyone that's a Christian can help you. And, you know, but we're not. I don't push people that are atheists and say, okay, what we're going to do here is okay, you're going to believe in Christianity or forget it. Like those monuments that they want to have taken down because they push Christianity. No, this monument for these fallen soldiers doesn't push Christianity. They believe in Jesus Christ when they fought. If you're atheist and you fight for the war, I'll put up an atheist monument for you touting your service for our country.
No, it's not that they, it's not even the fact that they were Christians. It's the fact they believe we have the freedom to choose.
Yep. What are those liberal Trump supporters showing that they don't think that they preach something that they don't have, tolerance?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, folks. You know, it's not about how is a cross that's a monument to World War II vets forcing you to believe in Jesus Christ. It's not, but if you take it away, that's not going to make me, yeah, like I'm like it's like it's okay to remove all mention of Christianity, but because it offends you if you're atheist, but then I can't preach it. I don't get it because I just really don't. Because I mean, if you were an atheist and you served in the war and this means the world to you, I would help build the monument because you gave your life to serve our country if you died or whatever. I'm not going to sit there and say, here's this monument for the people that fought for this country that died that were Christians, and here's the monument for those that were atheists. Can't we all get along? Instead of this backfighting because, you know, like the establishment wants. I just don't get it. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's why I got into this, because I guess I'm glad and I'm so blessed that I have the dad and the mom I did that raised me, that freedom isn't free. Okay, you watch a documentary on North Korea and tell me that they have freedom. They don't. When you hear about two kids fighting over a kernel of corn in cow dung because they're starving, and you don't have you're going to do this. You don't have a say. You're going to sow. Well, you better learn how to sow really darn quick because you ain't going to be living too long if you ain't sowing. You know, we have freedom in this country. I don't want to lose it. But it's amazing how many people that fight to lose the freedoms they have. Because, free college. Well, I want to pay for the college. So, if they give you free college, what does that mean? I mean, are you going to be able to choose where you go, or are they going to tell you where you go? Are you going to be able to have the professor you want, or are they going to tell you who's going to teach your class? Are you going to be able to learn what you want to learn? Are you going to learn what they tell you you're going to learn? Are you going to be like some people that have come here from Germany because we didn't agree with what they were teaching our kids? You know, it may be free, but let me tell you something. You ever get those contests where you get like a letter back in the day and you want a free camera, and then you get the thing and the thing's like a piece of junk? Like, well, thank God it didn't cost me anything because that thing's junk. Hey, it was free. Thank God it was free because I wouldn't have paid for it. But who knew? Well, freedom is not free, folks, and that's what I try to preach. I don't care who you vote for or what you believe. Don't take my word for this stuff. Look it up. Think for yourself. Who was the one that wanted Martin Luther King jailed? The Democrats. Who founded the KKK? Democrats. Who supports the KKK? Democrats. Who didn't want blacks to have the equal rights to vote? Democrats. But all these blacks still, a lot of them support Democrats. I don't get it. When they were for years and years and years, the cornerstone against them. You know? Think for yourself. I don't care if you vote for Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or Trump or Cruz or whoever, but just know what they stand for and what they're about. Bottom line, that way you make an educated decision. You know? That's all I'm saying. As we move on, folks, I'm going to get into this because this was a great article. I read this when I came home. On Yahoo, overall, 99% of the brackets on Yahoo's NCAA tournament were busted, 94% average. 82.9% took Baylor, and they got upset by Yale. Purdue, 88% took Purdue, and they got in double overtime, they lost. I had them, I think, in every bracket I did three. In every bracket, I had them only going to the second round, and then the second round, I had them losing anyway, so I just, you know, I want them to get rid of Matt Painter, so, I mean, they suck, in my opinion. So, hey. I just think it's funny, like, when, like, they sit there, like, 94% of the people took UConn, and they lost in the first round. Dang. Because I don't think, because I always joke on my Facebook profile, like, yeah, it's just going to be another perfect bracket year. But I don't think anyone ever has gotten a perfect bracket. Nope. I do know this for a fact. It's totally off topic, but in the same genre, there was I think it was 2 years ago on ESPN's Fantasy Football, the person with the most points, the best fantasy football player was some homeless guy that just went to the library once a day for an hour and did it. And it goes to show you don't need millions of dollars and stuff to be great at fantasy football. Because I used to do fantasy NASCAR a lot, and like when you'd have a wreck at Talladega, okay, that one wreck took five of my six drivers. Okay. Because I remember one time I took Jimmy Johnson on my team because he was stinking so bad, because I don't really like him anyways, at Indianapolis.
Wait a minute, he was on your team?
On my fantasy team, and he was doing horrible, so I took him off.
Blew my mind.
But he sucked. And I took him off my team at Indianapolis. And what happened? They had an issue with the fueling. And, like, the whole pit caught fire and all this stuff. I'm like, yay, I'm glad I took him off the team. And you want to know what happened? He ended up winning the damn race. And then he got so pricey that I couldn't afford him.
See, that's why you don't like it. That's it right there. I knew there was a reason. I knew it.
That could be it. But anywho, but he's a Dale Senior because he doesn't care if he's 20 laps down. He wants to be one lap ahead. Okay, I want to get out there because even though I'm back in the garage, I want to be 39 laps down, not 40 laps down. You know, he has that determination. That's why he's so successful. But then it got to the point where they had, like, the point system, like, where one time so many people complained because, hell, if you got Jeff Gordon, you almost couldn't afford anyone else. And, like, half of the people you have to get, well, I have to change my drivers all the time because the only people I can afford after I get, like, a Tony Stewart or Jeff Gordon was someone that was like, okay, he may not race this week, so you got to make sure he even qualifies. So they lowered prices on some people and stuff, and it just got to be, it was a lot of work, you know, and it's hard to believe it's the 100th anniversary of the Indy 500, the actual race. The 100th year of the track already happened, but the 100th year of the race, because a couple years, because of the war and stuff, they didn't race, but when the Indy 500, 100th year, I've been going since I can't even remember, like 89, but my boy Alex Tagliani is going to be racing again, right? I mean, if he qualifies and everything, unless something major goes wrong, yeah, he'll get in. He's just a tremendous driver. And I'd love to see him win, but, well, we'll have to see. That's a long shot. But it's just hard to believe it. It's another season already. I mean, it just seems like yesterday Dan Weldon had passed, and, man, how many years? ago that was. I think it was 2008 when, I think it was 2007 or 8 when Scott Coletta died. And like the week before, he was in my dad's shop, you know, handing out all kinds of stuff, getting the trailer worked on. Oh man, this is great. My life is awesome. You know, I'm just so blessed, man, with this life. And, you know, Jesus, and he's just incredible and all this stuff. And, you know, and when they went to Englishtown, you know, the shortest track on the circuit. And if it would have been anywhere else, he might have been hurt, but he could have probably lived. But, you know, as we know, we didn't make it. But it just seemed, I mean, time just goes by so fast. It's just like, wow. You know, and it's just hard to believe it's the 100th. I remember when my mom and dad went to the 500, we stayed at our friends. It's when I was real little. It was like the 75th year. My mom got me a T-shirt, and I wore the hell out of it. And it's just incredible, you know. Just lots of memories at the track, you know. Just like, I remember, you know, just when you can say, you know, I saw every race that Dan Weldon did, and, you know, and I still remember when they had, oh, it was Elio Castroneves when he won, and I can't remember the guy's name that whined, Paul Tracy, and he's like, well, when the caution came out, he slowed down, and you know, of course, Castroneves went by, and he's drinking the milk now, but, you know, I won the race. I'm like, every time I've ever seen, whether it's NASCAR, IndyCar, whatever, on the last lap, if a caution comes out, the person that slows down because the caution comes out, someone goes by them, and they, well, the caution came out, so I slowed down. No, usually, I was always under the understanding, if a caution comes out in the last lap, as long as it's not in front of you, if it's behind you, and it's, like, let's say between turns 1 and 2, it's the first one to get back to the start-finish line wins. It's like a drag race because there's nothing affecting you on the track. If it happened at the start-finish line, then there may be an issue. But, you know, other than that, it's about 6 minutes left in the program, though. But, you know, but it's just all the memories I have at the Indy 500, you know. The fun of them is when you get there and you're there like 9 o'clock for like a 12 o'clock autograph signing, waiting in line, and someone comes up like 11:55. Well, where's the line for the 12 o'clock autograph signing? They closed that off like an hour ago. What do you mean? It's not even noon, ma'am. I've been here for 3 hours waiting. 3 hours? Like, yep. I said, I think the one for 2:30 or 1:30 is still got. And then by the time we get there, and we get there like 2.5 hours before the thing even starts, or 3 hours before, and there's times where by the time I get in there, some people have already left because they have other commitments. And but it's still cool. I mean,
I got to see your boy.
Yep. Got to see Tags. I actually got my jersey of Alex Tagliani signed, and a bunch of these Canadians are like, well, where'd you find that jersey? I'm like, well, there was like a thing inside the track that was like a hat world. They had like hats and shirts and stuff, and it was in there. Because he very rarely has a full-time ride, and he just rides. Because he does a Canadian version of NASCAR. So he's hard to find anything, Alex Tagliani. Especially like when, you know, if he's going to race for the 500 for this team, you're not going to be able to find anything for who he's racing with for this one team for this one race. They're not going to make a bunch of shirts or stuff just for him, you know. Like if he was to race hypothetically and say with like Dale Coyne Racing or, you know, AJ Foyt Racing, you know, they're not going to make a bunch of stuff just for one race. But then I kind of wish they would, because then I can have some stuff. But it's still cool. And if you think the Purdue's basketball team season is up in smoke, Lord help Manchester United. You know, they tied 1-1 with Liverpool today in the Europa League, which they lost on aggregates. So they're out of the Europa League. And they had all these jokes that, you know, Louis van Gaal has got 99 problems, but Liverpool ain't one because he's never lost against Liverpool. But then what did he do when they faced him in the Europa League? They got blown away. I don't know. I don't know what the style, the attacking and passing style that Manchester United has been known for years that worked. They're not doing it. I guess it's one of those, imagine having a coach that wins like the national championship or the Rose Bowl and goes undefeated, and then they say, "Oh, we're going to get rid of him. We want to get a new coach in here and do something different." What do you mean do something different? He was undefeated. You won the Rose Bowl, the national championship. You're the best, you know. What do you mean change? How can you get any better than that? You know, I guess when you have a system that we know works with fast passing and attacking and, you know, help from the midfield, and it just not, I don't know. I just don't see what worked in the past and has, why they're not going to that. And that's what Paul Scholes is just arguing about on Man U TV all the time. Like, this has worked in the past. This works. We know this is, you know, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, Alex Ferguson wasn't even perfect in the beginning. So, you know, got about 2 minutes left in the program, folks. And, you know, I'm still a fan. I still love him. It's not the, I don't support a team because I want to be there just for the national championships and the Rose Bowls and the, you know, look at how many years Notre Dame didn't do hardly anything. And I still wore my shirt. I still wore my jerseys and stuff. You know, like I always tell people, if Jesus Christ was dean of students, he'd be the dean of Notre Dame. I got about 2 minutes left in the program, folks, and I'm going to thank you all for tuning in. It's a wonderful St. Paddy's Day. It's been a busy week, and it's weird because I don't know where you live, but where we are, you get to where it's like there are days it'll get to like 70 degrees, and it'll go down to like 40, and it's just, that just really kills my body, you know. But it's just incredible. I just kind of was 90 seconds left. I just wish I was somewhere where it was kind of like more stagnant with the temperature, you know, like where if it's, you know, I love the seasons, but like where, okay, if it's going to get to 60 degrees, it's going to stay around 60, not go from like 60 to 70 down to like 30 and then up to 50 and then to 20. It just throws my body for a loop. But it's amazing, you know, that I just thank God that I'm on two legs and that I have this voice that I can educate people and try to get people, you know, while I can, you know. While I have this freedom, I use it, you know, and that's what you need to do. You've got a freedom, use it, you know, use it for the good. You know, if you don't support Trump, okay, but don't sit there and cause violence. How does that solve anything? Violence doesn't solve anything. If anything, the Civil Rights Act showed us that. You know, Martin Luther King and all of them got together and held hands and they marched in a peaceful protest, and that did more for the black community than anything. But we have all these people that, oh, we're going to incite riots and violence because we hate Trump. Lord help this country. We need God. I want to thank you all for tuning in. And until next week, I want to thank you all for listening. God bless you all. Happy St. Paddy's Day and good night. Goodbye.